Thank you for this opportunity. Conferences are usually spaces where we disseminate findings. That seems to be the norm. But also conferences are spaces where we should take advantage of the number of experts that are all of a sudden collected together to give us feedback and to actually brainstorm and maybe actually think differently when we leave the room. And in this case, I want to gather your input has after I present to hear your thoughts about this reflection, because this is a reflection. I'm not going to present data. This has more to do with the issue of how do we conceptualize bisexuality with the end goal of doing a public health intervention. And if we think historically, bisexuality really entered strong and full force with the AIDS epidemic within the lenses of public health. Because of that, we have a reductionism from a human experience and expression to a vector of transmission. We, therefore, as a consequence of that, then we look at things in individual behavior. Also, that led us to very narrow ways of thinking about interventions. Okay? So, can we step back and rethink bisexual health more comprehensively, as we have done with other populations in public health? And I will revisit that point. So let's think about, these are pretty much the two questions I want to pose there. First one is, how do we conceptualize outcome variables for the sexual health of bisexual groups? How do we think about conceptual models and multi-level research and interventions for bisexual populations? If we start with outcome variables, they're not simple, even in the case of HIV and STI risk for bisexual individuals. Think about all the practices. These are not all the practices, it's just labels of the practices. And the problem is that often we, for example, we can think about anal intercourse as anal intercourse, regardless of the gender of the partner. We know that actually in some of the data that we're exploring that there are differences, there are different predictors for whether or not to engage in risky sex or a particular type of risky sex. Also, what is the relationship between these behaviors and these practices? We don't know enough because we keep reducing it to very individual level variables, which are okay. They're not that that's wrong, but we have to think comprehensively about how these relate to other factors. So part of the problem that we have in the field of HIV more globally is that we have desexualized the field of HIV. So that, for example, a couple of World AIDS conferences ago, there were just a handful of papers that actually talk about sex. And what does it mean to have sex? What about the question of pleasure? Jeez. So, just, you know, out there. Then, once we identify the practices and the configuration of those practices, then we have to start thinking about multiple dimensions and which dimension is more relevant to what. Okay? So again, this is not only unique to this population, whether we measure last encounter, whether we measure frequency over time periods, whether we measure, in this case, for example, just level of pleasure, but also think about not each of these practices independently, but start thinking even a multi-level perspective within the individual. So how is it that the sex that I have with a woman relates to the sex that I have with a man in a particular time period? Okay? So this is just trying to be provocative. Now think about other things that have been out there, mixing drugs and alcohol, sex. These are, again, multipliers, sexual enhancement drugs, but also contraceptive use. Can something, well, oh no, nobody get pregnant. So, but how long? They do get pregnant. And well, we'll talk about that one more second. Now, if we think about multi-level perspective, this goes, again, very well with what David was talking about. We have to think about individual, partners, situational, contextual variables. And again, the following list is just a silly examples, but you can think about risk reduction outcomes. That's pretty much a lot of what we focus in public health in general. No, actually, that's not true. That's in HIV. We overly focus a lot on risk reduction outcomes. But what about positive, healthy outcomes? There are other fields, maybe in the next hallway. They talk a lot about health-promoting behaviors. But can we think about positive, healthy outcomes for bisexual groups? How will they look like? Just an example. So elderly bisexuals, thinking about communication of their sexual desires and agree rules of engagement. Communication about contraceptive use and childbearing. Wanting to have children. Effective communications about strategies for problem solving. But here, now notice this. Again, this is what they was talking about, that moment. That so far I have mentioned three outcome variables that they have to do with communication. Again, I wonder, does everything have to do with communication? And when they are in relations, probably. But again, not everybody's in a relationship, and not everybody wants to be in a relationship. So we have a relationship bias, even in the way we think about sexuality, that the imperative of a healthy sexual life is in some sort of relationship. I mean, that's a bias in my position. Also, another thing that I call bipositionality, which in this case, it's whether we're dealing with bisexuals at the top of networks, so they have access, let's say, if we can divide the world into a heterosexual and same-sex networks, and person is on top of the networks and tap into each network, or are they at the margins of these networks? And again, that notion frames the way you think about an intervention, the way you measure the types of variables that you want to think. Now, can we think about in terms of healthy communities? Can we think about a healthy bisexual community? We have done it in other fields. Obesity, tobacco, talks about healthy community. Can we talk about healthy bisexual communities? What does that mean? Well, there's challenges, the definition of community, the assumptions about what is a community, and you have all these elements about building a community of some sort. Do we even need a community? But we have to think about this idea of having collective or perhaps social spaces that are that create healthy environments for people to be and to express their sexualities in ways that they want to express their sexualities. Think about geographical communities, ideological communities, and visual communities. So this, again, I'm just kind of poking, being annoying. It's for you to think, and then tell me what you think. Again, one of the challenges about bisexuality is, in many ways, is this issue of the acceptance of fluidity of bisexuality, identity, experience, political practice, the institutionalized prejudice, and the threat of bisexuality to sexual order. So bisexuality threatens the way we think about sexual health. And that prejudice is embedded in our institutions. What kind of intervening variables shall we focus on? You can think about that. Of course, it depends on what kind of problem you want to tackle. But think about frameworks, and we have frameworks that are individual, interpersonal frameworks. Just listing a group there. But you can think about frameworks of oppression, where you have a number of frameworks that can be used, but also frameworks of networks that tend to put in contact, to connect context. And one of the frameworks that I use is sex markets theory from Lohman and colleagues from the University of Chicago. So in our case, our study, it's called Latino Bicultural Project. It's a 4-year project. Let me talk about the methods in 1 second. 4-year projects where we're trying to document gender and power relations. We're trying to understand the configurations of sexual markets with the idea that during the last part, we're going to construct an intervention. And that intervention, it will not be at the individual level. We don't know for sure what level it's going to be, but we have ideas about the organizational level, and this is where we're heading. And right now, just to let you know where we are, we're 11 months into the ethnography of bisexual networks and sexual markets. We have done key informant interviews, and we are doing surveys. And officially, we initiate the intervention mapping approach in 2012, but we're going to start it now. And the idea, up to now, the units that we think that we're going to intervene have to do with HIV/AIDS providers, community healthcare providers, and creating spaces for dialogue. However, every time we think about what we propose and what we're seeing in the field, issues of labor and employment becomes really salient. Issues of migration policy and family law, the idea of I'm going to lose my kids if someone becomes aware of me being bisexual. So not everything has to be at the individual level, but not everything has to be at the structural level. There should be some type of dialogue there. Can we apply lessons from other fields of public health using not only multi-level, which is what I have been talking a lot of today, but also multi-sectorial? So you have different sectors of public health that might actually be helpful to work together. For example, in my work with Latino bisexual men, in our work, it makes a lot of sense to start talking to the employment and the job market, as well as to talk about corrections and departments of justice, because a lot of our Latino men, regardless of their sexual practices, get arrested often. So there is a lot of, and that actually is a marker for employment, and there's a marker for a whole set of other things. So we have to start thinking, I think, we have to start thinking about in those terms. And what are we doing with groups of bisexuals who are not affected by large epidemics, but with serious threats to their sexual health and mental health? For example, one of the projects that we did with Latina bisexual teenagers, what was the main issue? They get kicked out of the house. Or they live in social, it's a common term, low impact war with their parents, then eventually they leave the house. So they become homeless. So but they're not within the realm of HIV. They're not necessarily within the realm of homelessness, because that's usually tend to be a different kind of population. So how are we thinking about these dynamics? How are we thinking about these outcomes? Thank you. Sorry, I wasn't so charming.
Thank you very much.